Hello and welcome. I am really happy to have so many people joining us today. We've got both Herbie and Bruce on the cameras. We've got Joy here and Enjoy and Stock Trader. So we are really looking forward to this. I'm really happy to have the three cameras running and have everyone join us. As you may have guessed, this is the next episode of our podcast. Today, we are going to be discussing the two sections of the PMS recovery program donated by Alan Gordon. This is where he really starts exploring the inner bully. The first one is recognize destructive behaviors, and the second one is identify source of abuse. So with that out of the way, Bruce, did you haven't done your summaries this time, have you?
Well, Alan says in recognizing destructive behaviors that psychological abuse that people place on themselves takes three forms. One is self-criticism. People beat themselves up all the time, to put it bluntly. And ideas like you're worthless or what's wrong with you come to mind. And a second way is putting pressure on themselves. You're not working hard enough. You're not making enough money. You need to lose more weight. These ideas echo in the mind of someone who's engaged in this kind of in kind of a self-administered abuse with self-pressure. Alan coins a phrase, it's like a drill sergeant in your head. And then a third way that people abuse themselves psychologically is through fear, which you might say is, I think of it as catastrophizing. What if I don't get better? What if the pain is structurally caused? That's one that recurs again and again on the boards,
Yeah,
in the
doesn't it?
forum. It keeps coming back. I did well for a few days, and then I had this thought, and now I think I'm going to go down to the doctor and get an MRI to check out just to see if there might be a physical cause to this. It's like the psyche is trying to hedge its bet, and that doesn't work. And what if I never get married? No, what if no one likes my cooking? What if I fail the PhD exams and my parents disown me and everyone will hate me forever? This kind of
Okay.
clear thinking, childish, no doubt.
I can relate to this. I thought it was interesting how you used the word hedge your bet. Could you maybe quickly say what you mean by that? Almost like it's a defensive reaction
Yeah,
to.
it is. It's like someone goes along and makes progress so far, and then their TMS taps them on the shoulder, and they try to grasp, like grasping for straws, for a physiological explanation. So they say, oh, I have that problem in my ankle, and I think I'll go down to the podiatrist, and just maybe she'll give me an MRI. And then it comes back, the podiatrist says, in conjunction with the PT, that this might be causing your pain in the other areas because of, oh, what is that principle that PTs talk about,
Yeah, whatever.
where things interrelate,
Yeah.
it's transference, something like that. But yeah, that's what I
That's
mean by
interesting.
hedging your bet. The psyche figures out a physiological excuse at the same time symptoms recur. And then they'll go looking for a doctor to find something that's really physically wrong. And when they get that, then they're placed in a quandary because they can't decide whether to go ahead with the TMS treatment or whether to believe. And
And
that's
that
really,
is
they're doing that in their own head. They
a
set up
classic
these
thing that
preconditions.
people set up. Alan sometimes refers to that as an inner terrorist, that we are very, very good at scaring ourselves, and that it's important in treatment to first you become aware of it, but once you become aware of it, then you have to defend yourself from it. You have to fight back against the inner terrorist and kind of, or the inner critic, or the inner pressure, and force yourself and free yourself from those inner abusers by fighting back to them. This was an interesting section for me to read because I could relate to all of them. Like, these were such powerful behaviors. They're so deep within us to you know, to criticize ourselves. That I am definitely my harshest critic. I'm a and I put a huge amount of pressure on myself constantly, and I can absolutely relate to the idea of fear. And Bruce was talking about catastrophizing, and I totally can relate to the idea of catastrophizing. It's something which has been researched a lot recently. It is a, for those who aren't familiar with it, it is a technical term, and it's becoming more of a technical term, I guess, in the last 20 years in psychotherapy. People are recognizing that catastrophizing is something that we can study, and that as we study it, we've realized that it is a powerful behavior which really affects people's satisfaction with life. So it's interesting. Stock Trader has added something in the chat room, which I think is very interesting. And then I'll cover this, and then I'll open it up to the floor to see if anybody else wants to jump in and share their own experiences or thoughts. He wrote, anger equals when I scare and beat myself without awareness, I repress my rage. I thought that was an interesting idea. And I believe that Stock Trader has maybe have been exploring Monty Heffley, because that's an idea that I hear in Monty Heffley's ideas. So Monty Heffley will talk, and we talked a little bit about Monty last week. He'll talk about how we create inner tension, inner stress, and by doing that, we repress our emotions. So rather than dealing with the stress and having what the authors of Pathways to Pain Relief would call effective awareness, being able to tolerate your emotions, you worry about them. So Bruce was talking about defensive reactions, about how fear can be a defensive reaction. If I'm afraid of something happening, then I might convince myself that to protect myself, I'm going to worry about it and try to save myself from it. I know I did that a huge amount. Back when I had my RSI really badly, my TMS, I was really afraid for my career, and I couldn't type, I couldn't write, I couldn't even dictate that much. I could barely sit up at a chair. I had limited ability to walk very far. I was pretty darn disabled. And rather than just dealing with that fear, my inner terrorist came out, and it scared me, and then tried to get control from my inner terrorist by kind of fighting back against it and making plans. But there was nothing I could do, and the best thing which I needed to do was just learn to live with my emotions and not try to repress them by getting control of them. So I've spoke for a little while. Bruce has spoke for a little while. It's good to kind of pass the mic around. Does anyone else want to jump in?
Yeah, I'd like to. You know, I guess, I mean, y'all guys know that my dad passed away a few months back. You know, in my case, it was extreme back pain. It had gone to my shoulders. It had gone all the way down to my ankles. It had basically had me bedridden, as I've said before on here. But after Pop passed, I don't think it was a week or two later, the extreme back pain came on. And I thought, well, I'm thinking about everything I can possibly think about. Yeah. You know, I'm bringing up every thought I can possibly think about. And then I started thinking about the somatic experience, and that I heard the guy we're doing the show for here, his name
Alan
is,
Gordon.
yeah, Alan Gore was bringing that up today, and you know, I started experiencing those feelings in my body, and I haven't done that much, and because I'm used to going back and changing things in the mind and correcting stuff that way. But I started experiencing these feelings in my body, and as Alan Gordon was saying, and all of a sudden the back pain started leaving. And I'm like, man, you know, I've had so many people talk to me about Peter Levine. I think you have, Forrest, and Bruce. And all of a sudden, for the past 2 months now, I've been doing the somatic experience, and it has been wonderful. It has been awesome to just sit there and experience the emotions and then realize that it can pass if I just face it.
That is really, really wonderful, Eric. I don't know if you noticed this, but there was in a podcast that we did when you were away, we talked about that section of the program, and there's been some wonderful threads. I'll point them out to you afterwards
Okay.
if you remind me, especially where I think Unknown Stuntman has been working on something called focusing, and Chick Jones has just this great discussion of that as well, and it's good to see that connection, and you found it really helped you.
Yes. Awesome. It's man, I'm over flabbergasted about it because I thought I'd done got to the point. Understood it all, and next thing you know, I start sitting there and just you know, feeling these emotions. And next thing you know, I'm getting better, and I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't have to do timeline therapy, I didn't have to go through and change pictures and sounds and voices. I just went in there and felt the emotions, and next thing you know, I got to feeling better. It's pretty awesome,
That's terrific. That's really terrific. For
really
anyone
awesome.
listening to this, who wants to try it out, you just go to the Alan Gordon Recovery Program and you click on section 3.7. It's called Feel Your Feelings. It's up in the table of contents. You can get kind of some intro about how to do that. What you're describing reminds me a lot of kind of what I was talking about before with how you don't want to fight your emotions. And when I think of what we learned from Pathways, it's important to tolerate your emotions, to say, okay, I've got these emotions and I'm going to allow these emotions. And one way, when I do that type of feeling, my feelings in my body thing, I think of it as I'm just going to sit with my emotions. I'm just going to allow the pain that I'm feeling to be in my body, to feel it in my body, and give it time because it's going to need some time. Is that how you approached it, or did you have a different
That
approach to it?
you hit it right on the head. That's exactly why I did it, and it worked perfect. And
That's terrific.
you know, I think Peter Levine said he saw animals doing this type of stuff. Waking the tiger, I don't know, but hey, it works. And we've been missing out on some great stuff, you know, or I have, and
I'm
it
so
was
happy
great.
for you. That's
Yeah.
wonderful to hear. That's good
Yeah.
stuff.
It pulled me through my pop passing, and you know, I've done been doing everything else for a while now, and I didn't understand why the pain had came back, like I said, and it pulled me through it, and it made the pain leave, and I was like, wow.
That's great. I think there's a good lesson in there. I mean, even people who have mastered TMS healing, occasionally, when we have something big and deep, like, you know, our father passing away, that's going to bring back symptoms. And when they do, I think it's just important. I think you were a lot of wisdom there in allowing yourself to feel those feelings, because you can't take any shortcuts on something as powerful as a parent passing. Like, that's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank
The
you, Forrest.
earlier on in the chat, Joy had had written, how do you address the scary thoughts? How do I keep stress from becoming anxiety? And you know, maybe what Herbie is talking about is relevant to that. That, you know, stress is kind of a scary thought. And so one approach, if you have stress and you're afraid of it turning into anxiety, then you can,
self-talk.
You can allow that. I'm sorry?
Self-talk.
You can use self-talk. I'm going to let Enjoy talk about that in a second, because she was saying some great things about that in the chat. But I was going to say that you could allow that stress. So suppose you have something scary. Something in your life is scaring you for whatever reason. You could say, okay, I'm scared. And you can allow yourself to feel that fear in your body, just as one can't shortcut, you know, the loss of a parent and the grieving process in there. Maybe, and you'll know this better than I will, different in different situations and it's different for different people, maybe that fear just has to be in you for a little while, you know? And I mean, when I think of you, one of the things I admire about you, Joy, is that you're very good at keeping it positive, and I think that served you well. But at the same time, it's kind of the opposite of tolerating your emotions. You know, maybe it's a different approach of feeling that stress and that fear in your body, and just saying it's okay, I can survive the fear and the stress that I'm feeling. I'm going to allow it. I'm going to give it some time. Does that make sense to you, Herbie?
Yes, it makes. That's exactly, you're hitting it right on the head. Everything you're saying is like the protocol.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. I feel like we learned about all this together as we were doing the Pathways to Pain Relief books.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I got it. And then I went to YouTube and, you know, picked up some stuff. I got Peter Levine's book. I looked at Alan Gordon's stuff. Like you said, Alan Gordon's got so much different great stuff, you know, working there. And I am amazed at how much he's got to help, you know, different people. And it's amazing.
Yeah, I saw someone commenting today that they just went through the program and they feel like they got a year of therapy.
Yes.
It's interesting the way Alan takes individual snippets from his patients' dialogues with him and then uses them to build a theory, like a teaching theory. It's like all the while that he's practicing therapy, he's also on another plane, putting it all together into a course practicum. It's like a two-layered event. And he's come out with this great summary of his own methodology based on what we've listened to him doing with various patients. I remember Lainey, and then the teacher who beat himself up all the time, and
Brandon, I think. Yeah.
Brandon, yeah, and set impossible standards for his children. And you see that all the time, though, don't you? These sort of models being enacted in society.
I think it's not uncommon. Absolutely. I see it within myself. I mean, I think that his creative process is that, you know, as a psychotherapist, he cares a lot about the work that he's doing. He cares a lot about his patients. And I think he just really enjoys it. And so I think that if you have a really smart person who just really enjoys their job, then they think about it. And they, just like people on the forum, you know, they think about it. They come up with their own theories. I've been really loving reading stock traders' posts on the forum recently. Because I can see him coming up with his own version around mindfulness. So that's been interesting to see. And I, you know, everyone here, we all come up with these syntheses, and we do it by reading posts, and he does it, I think, by working with patients.
Well, from, doing, Schubert's meditations, Howard Schubert's meditation.
Huberman, yep.
Schubiner's, yeah, Howard Schubiner's meditations, particularly his mindfulness one, I learned how to project my consciousness into different parts of my body while doing breathing exercises and remaining detached. And slowly but surely, I saw myself taking that technique and applying it to my own body when I was exercising and
awesome.
Moving it into the affected areas and thereby releasing the tension there by remaining detached, practicing mindfulness while you're doing these exercises. It was interesting, that was just my way of handling or processing the information I was getting from Howard in those meditations. Other people could do other things. But I saw where that
So you
applied.
Felt like your thighs and you felt like your lower back and...
Yeah, exactly. But then I learned how to do that in meditation. Then I could do it out exercising. And then the strength started to come back on my left side.
So for a lot of people, if they did that, if they feel a part of their body that isn't working the way that it should, that's when the ideas from recognized destructive behaviors, the section that we're talking about, the inner terrorism, the inner critic, pressure, but mostly the inner terrorism, like you were discussing earlier about how we scare ourselves, are we going to get better? Some people might have brought their consciousness to their thigh and started feeling those sensations and really gotten anxious and scared. And then the TMS would happen. They would be wrapped up in the cycle of TMS. But it sounds like that isn't what happened for you. How did you avoid
Well, learning
that?
Mindfulness, learning that detached approach to feelings and thoughts and letting them go by without becoming attached to them. Like Alan Gordon says, you know, every idea, every emotion is like a train leaving a station. You can elect to get on board and follow it and take it to its destination, or else you can just stay on the station and watch it go by. And I think that's what the meditation teaches you to do, remaining detached from these ideas and emotions that used to be dictators. Now you see them for what they are. You don't need to obsess about them.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. And it's totally in keeping. I mean, that's another approach to, so you recognize the destructive behaviors, you identify the source of abuse, and then you kind of let them go. It reminds me of what Stock Trader has been talking about in some of those posts that I've really enjoyed so much. He talks about you recognize what you're feeling. You accept it, and then you allow it to go. You let go. I forget the exact phrasing, but it's that three-step process: recognize, accept, and let go. It sounds like the meditative process has kind of strengthened your brain almost like a muscle, where your ability to be mindful in that way, to accept, recognize, accept, and let go is much stronger. And so, as you're feeling. You're, and that could be scary. You're allowed to accept, recognize that feeling of fear, accept it, and then let it pass on, kind of like a train going through a station.
Yeah,
did
accepting
I get that right?
And letting go is one of the primary points that Howard Schubiner makes at the start of each one of those guided meditations. That's what he does when he leads you into the process. That's a point of departure.
Yeah,
it's always
okay.
That point of departure he starts with.
This is interesting. So in the chat room, Mel just mentioned that this sounds a lot like what Monty says in Think Clean, to refuse to allow the unclean thoughts to take residence in your mind. So in connecting it back to what we're describing here, the unclean thoughts would be these destructive behaviors, the self-criticism, the pressure, or the fear. And so Monty would be saying, refuse to allow those thoughts to take residence in your mind. And then the question is, how do you prevent that from happening? Do you fight it? Because a lot of people find that fighting it doesn't work, and so mindfulness will take approach. Oh, I'm dying to hear what you have to say. Our feisty lady in Joy. Do you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's really interesting. I can't do that, and I'm a fighter from way back. If I fight these things, they just get mad and fight back. And what works for me is to explore the meaning of what they're saying, to see what's useful in it. You know, because I guess what it is I'm really good at negative thinking. I'm not a positive thinker at all. I don't really even believe in it, to tell you the truth. And so what I want to know is, if I'm having a negative thought, what's that about? What's the totality of it? What's positive in it? I can't just think things superficially. I can't say to myself, refuse to allow the unclean thoughts to take up space in my mind. Like, hello, I don't have that kind of. I need to talk to them. I need to respect them. I need to see what they've got to say, and I need to hear the positive message, and incorporate that. And then the negativity just goes away by itself, because I've heard what it's trying to accomplish in its own way.
Very, very interesting. It is so interesting how different people have different approaches. Huh. I mean, I think that Monty could possibly respond. I don't think that Monty tells you how to get rid of the unhelpful thoughts. He just says, do it, if I remember correctly. I don't know. But maybe he would respond by saying, great, you found your way of getting rid of those unclean thoughts. That his job maybe was to identify the unclean thoughts, and then or teach you to identify them. And then the question is, okay, I've identified them. What do I do now?
I went through a long period when I had what I would have referred to as unclean thoughts at times. And the way I got those under control is I kept saying a positive affirmation, something that was positive to me, you know. It could have been, different people would use different things. And I just said that repeatedly and calmly, and allowed that thought that I didn't want to just dissipate. And I did that for a long time, and it was actually fairly successful. But I haven't had to do that lately, because now what I do is I explore it. I make friends with it. I say, what are you trying to tell me? What's going on here that I'm not paying attention to? How are you trying to protect me? And oftentimes the answer is very, very useful information. To me, the crux of this whole thing is to have some inner trust, not to distrust yourself, but to have some inner trust. You're an intelligent being. You're a person who is trying to do the best that they can in this world. You don't have to disbelieve everything that pops into your mind. There's something good about it, or it wouldn't be there. And that's what works for me anyway.
Very interesting. Thanks for sharing that. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
I think she's right on. That's sort of the way I've done it. A little different. I just, if it works for her, hey man, that's awesome. If it works for her, it's probably, you know, tens of thousands of other people to work for too.
I would absolutely agree. What I thought was interesting about that was, the theme of the show is, you know, recognizing these destructive behaviors. And to some degree, a destructive behavior, as Alan is using it in a recovery program, is a thought like self-criticism, or putting pressure on yourself, or fear. So the question is, Once you've recognized that, what do you do next? So in mindfulness, recognizing is the first step, and then you accept and then let go. So that's one approach. One approach would be mindfulness. Alan, later on in the program, he talks about ISTDP, where you generate, or within this program, as I understand it, and there's always more value in reviewing it, I'm sure I need to, but you tap into, so I can't represent this as his take, but it's my interpretation of it, you tap into self-compassion, and then you get anger at the inner bully, the inner terrorist. And you use that emotional energy to help you overcome it. So it is, in some sense, you know, a very strong thing where you make yourself strong and you do not accept that emotion anymore. So mindfulness is one approach, and he advocates mindfulness as well. It's always an eclectic toolbox. Anger, you know, becoming powerful is another approach. I think Schubiner talks about this. I was just in that webinar that Schubiner did with Dr. Strax, and he talked about that. You have to empower yourself, and then enjoy came up with two new ideas, which I thought was interesting. So we've got four. The first one was you explore it and you make friends and you find what's right about it. And then the other one that she came up with was affirmation. So if you have, you could say, hey, I do not need to be afraid. I am perfectly safe. That would be an affirmation against fear. Or I don't have to get all of this done. It's okay. That affirmation against pressure or self-criticism, you know, I am perfectly fine. I am a great person, you know, et cetera. That's, that would be an affirmation against self-criticism. So it's just interesting to me that, and this is one of the themes that I find on the forum, is that different, or the forums, different people have different approaches. And, you know, once you've recognized this, recognize what Alan calls the destructive behaviors, there's a whole bunch of different ways to approach it. And we all have different results.
I think that's the gist of it, is that you just have to start with the notion that whatever is bothering you right now is TMS, meaning that your conscious mind is trying to block subconscious material that wants to surface. And then you go about looking at all the different methods that people have come up with and that are posted in the forums, and you find what works for you. And maybe what works today won't be what works 2 weeks from now or 2 years from now, but that's okay. There's plenty of ideas out there, and you just keep on exploring until you all. I mean, it's just amazing how much better off I am since I ran into the whole theory of TMS, or the whole idea of TMS, Dr. Sarno's theories. And I've been through, I mean, I've probably got 30, 40 books. No, not everybody is going to do that, but you can get a lot of those ideas and an idea of them on the forum, or you can do it through meditation, come up with most of them on your own. It's just a matter of one step at a time. I mean, this is life. Life is really not meant to be easy, and I think we need to realize that. You look around at every creature on the face of this earth, and they all have their challenges that they have to meet. This is a challenge for us, and we have to do it. And just, it's a hobby. What the heck? It's like cooking. You know, you have to do it. You may as well enjoy it.
So there will always be emotional work that we have to do, and embrace it and enjoy it.
Exactly.
No pun intended. Anyway, enjoy. Are you familiar with, when you're saying that life is suffering, are you familiar with how that resonates with saying of the Buddha?
Well, yeah, I do. And of course, the big theory is that sooner or later you are so detached from this world that you don't feel anything like pain that you used to. If you look at a baby growing up, and you, a brand new baby, a little tiny wrinkle in their diaper, and they go nuts. You know, they have such fits, and 2-year-olds have tantrums, and 4-year-olds feel sorry for themselves, and you know, we just gradually learn to handle this stuff, learn to handle the difficulties of life, and to turn them into positives, and to turn them into joy. And I know that sounds like it sounds like positive thinking, but boy, oh boy, I'm the last person on earth to be a positive thinker. I see negatives wherever I look. I am the person, you can bring me in, and I'll look at a situation, and I will tell you what's wrong with it. It's a talent. I can't help it. I've always been that way. But now what I've had to learn is to turn that negative into its positive side, because it's like a coin. There's two sides to every situation and every single thing that happens to us.
Interesting. Just drawing it back to the evening, do you see that in some sense is that a destructive behavior that you're recognizing, that negativity?
No, I think I was born that way. In fact, there's been some science behind that some children are just grumpy and negative, and that's all there is to it, and some children are positive and sunny, and it seems to be something that's genetic, or you know, who knows, but anyway, we're born with it, and those children grow up to be you know, even the ones that are grumpy and negative, even though life is pretty good, they always see the dark side, and the ones that are positive, even if life really sucks, they tend to see the light side of things. And so to some degree it isn't changeable. It's just that you need to appreciate who you are and do the best that you can with the person that you have been gifted with the life that you've been gifted with.
Very interesting. So going forward, I'd love to hear, did anyone have any specific thoughts about any of the audio segments? So we had that one, an example of self-criticism. And that was the example where someone was on a date and they had just met this person and they mentioned that they had leased a BMW and they felt really bad about that. And they ended up, in some sense, making the date go a lot more poorly than it could have, because they were all kind of clenched up inside because they were criticizing themselves so strongly.
That video didn't work on my computer. It would start, it started off, and then it just kept conking out, so I never got to hear it.
Huh. You know, for all of the audio things, right below it says, click here to listen to an example of self-criticism. I'm listening to it, or I listened to it right beforehand, and I was able to listen to it fine, but if you email me, I'm always happy to help. Right below it, there's always that link. It says, click here to listen to an example of self-criticism. And if you do that, you can download the file onto your computer and maybe play it with like iTunes or Windows Media Player, some program that usually a computer, if you double click on a file like that, it'll just play.
Okay, I'll try that.
I think in the audio we're referring to, Forrest, I think I do that all the time. I somehow or another make myself responsible for what somebody else thinks about what I've just said. Like, for example, he mentioned he had a BMW, and then he thought, oh no, they'll think I'm, you know, this person will think I'm being arrogant. Well, how on earth can he possibly be responsible for that, for heaven's sake? All he said was that he got a new BMW. He's excited about it. He's happy about it. Maybe he thought it would impress her a bit. You know, why does she, if she takes it as arrogance, then, you know, of course, obviously, if you think somebody thinks you're arrogant, you got to think, okay, am I arrogant? And, you know, process that, eh? But to assume that that's what she'll think based on zero evidence is just something that I think Alan should just, you know, it's the sort of thing that Alan say, just tell it, shut up, you know? But I do
that's
it all the time.
That's what
he automatically was jumping on the worst case scenario as if it was a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was no way
exactly.
That was happening to me for about a week.
What were you saying, Eric or Herbie?
I said that was happening to me for about a week. I kind of got lost there for a little while, and it seemed like everybody that looked at me, I thought, what are they thinking? I mean, you know, and then all these negative thoughts just start going through my mind about, I don't know. I don't know why it was doing it. I tell you why. I wasn't being aware. I wasn't paying attention to myself. And I was letting my thoughts just go. And like they were, you know, quite a while back. It was coming back on, brother. It was coming back on me. And as I was letting those thoughts just go the way they wanted to, I was really beating the hell out of myself, or I was doing a destructive behavior. And I had to, and I actually caught myself today, and I looked myself in the mirror and I said, stop it, you know? And then again, I did the somatic experiencing, and it was pretty awesome, if that's what you call it, with my dad. But at the same time, here it is, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later after I done beat that, and then my mind's going crazy, beating me up. Every time somebody looks at me, I automatically think that they're just, I must have done something wrong because they're mad, you know? And I caught myself, and I had to go right back to Sarno and open up some books. I had to go to Alan Gordon, you know, and read some of this about recognizing destructive behaviors. And it really got me excited about being on here tonight because it got my head back where it's supposed to be.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm really glad to have you back.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's only been 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I can recall from my experience of my father passing that it has ramifications in your psyche for quite a while afterwards. You're like, at that time, it's like you're walking into the Egyptian temple or something, into the facing the darkness. And you just don't come out of it in a week or two. There'll be ramifications for quite a while. And that's why you probably shouldn't get too close to these negative things until they start sorting themselves out over time, away from the tragic event.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. That's true. It's true, because like I said, after I went through the somatic experience and my back got better, and then all of a sudden these voices start going off in my head again. I hadn't heard them in over a year and a half, and all of a sudden they're talking to me, and I'm like, you know, it took me about a week to catch it, but I caught it, and thank God, like I said, for Alan Gordon's destructive behaviors teachings here, and Sarno's books, and you guys.
Well, glad it's working.
It is. This
and give it
works,
time,
man.
Give it time, my friend.
That's what really counts, is giving it time. If you try too hard, no way. If you give yourself enough time, it'll work itself out.
But it does sound like you're on the right path, and that's a good thing to think, good thing to see. So I was telling Herbie earlier before it started, we turned the microphones or the conference line on at 8:30 before we start recording. I'm my job here is to keep the podcast on schedule. So I'm going to move us to the next little clip. And also, I think when I edit this, I'm going to try and put the actual clip in so that people can listen to it after we discuss it. But the next one was pressure, and it was talking about. Any thoughts on that? I'm trying to remember exactly what she talked about. She was thinking about what a wonderful experience that she was having on the call, that she had a chance to talk to him and get this feedback. And she was saying, you know, why can't I take better advantage of this? Why aren't I, excuse me, able to open up and relax more?
I want my pillow.
I think we may have a mom in the background here. We're gonna try muting some phones, but
it's the family hug.
I might have to mute a bunch of them. But
Daddy,
the
do you love Wiley?
Let's see. So, but does anyone have any thoughts on that? About, you know, this? I thought he did a very good job of showing her the sympathy that she deserved and that maybe she didn't get in her childhood, and of saying, hey, you don't have to be so hard. Of course, you're going to be a little bit tense. You know, there's a bunch of people listening. And, you know, this is a special, you know, like he taught her to show the self-compassion, to not put quite as much pressure on herself, which I thought was wonderful. And I guess I would like to interject with I think, a very important theme. Whenever we read these case histories, I think it's important to think about our own perspective and how much perspective we have when it's someone else, how much we can see when it's someone else versus how much we can see when it's someone just in the chat room said, I hear a baby in the background, do you? And this doc trader announced that it was Forrest and her child. anyway, indeed it was. But, I mean, I just, what we can see when it's our own experience and what we can see when it's someone else's experience. I mean, I look at some of these examples and it's just so obvious that people are catastrophizing. But I know that when I'm catastrophizing, it's a totally different situation. When I'm catastrophizing, it's rational. In my mind, at least, from my perspective, it's absolutely 100% rational. If anyone is going to tell me that I'm not being rational when I'm catastrophizing, I am going to be very mad. That is kind of my humanity. Maybe I'm not, you know, maybe I'll repress the anger, but I'm going to disagree with them. I'll get frustrated. I'm only human. We're all only human. Like, that's kind of the point of all of this stuff. And I think it is important for us to understand that as we're listening for two reasons. The first is that, well, first we want to show respect for the people who went on these webinars and shared their story with us. You know, and compassion for their humanity, but much more importantly, because really we all want to hear ourselves, right? It's important, but also think about it from a selfish perspective and say that if we're going to get better, we have to recognize that we do this as well. That we can't see our own catastrophizing always. That it's human nature. That this is why the unconscious exists. That we can't see everything which is going on in us. And so, I guess that's just important. Like, when we were going through pathways, it felt like we struggled a lot to understand how. There were some stories where we're like, we don't get it. Like, why aren't they seeing this? But I think that it does come down to perspective and what you can see when it's your own story versus what's so much more obvious when it's someone else's story. Any sense at all? Am I making sense with that?
You make all kind of sense, brother.
I'm glad to hear it. Thanks.
You really are. I mean, I've caught myself in all kinds of things in the past couple of years, and I don't know how I went 39 years like that and not knowing that that's what I was doing to myself. I could go and I could teach other people how to be great in themselves Now, I wasn't teaching them about TMS at the time, but I was teaching them about hope, about love, about bringing themselves up. But at the same time, I'd come home and, gosh, if I got depressed, you know, who was going to help me? I didn't know I could talk to my own self. I didn't know I could be a miracle to my own self. I didn't know I could be that person that could heal my own self. And I was good at teaching everybody else.
That's a perfect example.
It's good at teaching everybody else. But when I came home, you know, who was going to teach me? Well, I'm going to teach me. And that's exactly what I did. And by golly, here I am and I'm strong. And I'm on top of the mountain, brother.
Excellent. Yeah.
Now, it ain't always that way, Joy. I'm not always happy. But, you know, we have... I like what she said a while ago. She said, you know, some of us try to strive for the joy, for the happiness. And others of us are, you know, we look at the one part and then we try to get joy and happiness out of it. Go ahead, Forrest. I'm done.
Thank you. Well, you know what I'm doing right now is I am frantically struggling to mute and unmute the other people. So when you talk, I am just as happy as can be. I appreciate that. I may just start unmuting wholesale. So if you want to be muted and you're on the phone, you may want to remute. Because I've noticed in the chat room that some people are not able to speak. If you're in the chat room and you want to be unmuted, just confirm that there's no noise in the background, and then into the chat room type the last four digits of the phone number that you're calling from. Then I will know I'll know which number to unmute. So I had a question in the chat room actually from Stock Trader asking about what sort of results have you had with the TMS healing, Herbie? Like, have you what sort of progress? What's the results?
Well, the results are 100%. Now, at the same time, when I say 100%, like when my dad passed away, the pain came back for about a month. I used somatic experiencing and it left. Today, probably for about past week, you know, these voices started coming back. Because sometimes you think you can take time off because you done got it figured out. Well, you know, we got to stay on top of it all the time. And some of the voices started coming back. They started getting me feeling down, depressed, you know, and I was trying to do the somatic experiencing with the depression. And I had to look in the mirror and tell myself to shut up, you know. I caught it. I caught myself through awareness, and then I had to use acceptance. But as far as the TMS, as far as the overall body pain, I pretty much whooped up on that back in February. I did say that I've had an occurrence of a migraine since then. Other than that, it was when my dad passed. So I'm doing great. I came out of it. You know, if I was still stuck in it, then I would be sitting here wanting to know what am I missing. You know,
that's my experience when I read lots and lots of profiles online. I mean, maybe there are some people who will say 100%, but the large majority will say, you know, yeah, of course I get a symptom here or there, but I know how to take care of it, and that's what's important. One sees that a lot. Enjoy mentioned in the chat room, I don't believe anyone ever gets over TMS 100%. Sarno says it's part of the human condition, so true. That actually reminds me of something I read today. I was working with Dr. Sherman on something. He'll be contributing some text to a page on the Holmes and Ray stress scale. And I was reviewing his survey response. We have a practitioner survey where we contact all the known MS practitioners, especially if they want to be listed in our directory. And we have them do a survey so that people can read how they would answer certain questions. And he answered, have you ever suffered from TMS? And this question is optional because it's a privacy thing. But his response was, given that TMS symptomatology is universal, the answer is, of course, yes, which I thought was a beautiful answer coming straight from the heart of Sarno land, you know, one of Dr. Sarno's core psychoanalysts. So, I mean, I think that's the way it is. Even Dr. Sarno has DMS. So it's part of the human condition. And yeah, we should be proud of that.
Well, you know, when I broke it, it was like, I think February, January, it was like automatically in my mind, I could tell that I was creating it with my mind. And all of a sudden I was telling my mind, you know, I don't need to do this no more. I don't need this pain no more. And it left. And I was like, whoa, you know, it was, you can call it what you want, but it was pretty awesome. But don't get me wrong. You know, when I say 100%, I'm talking about I'm 100%, you know, heels over head, whatever you call it, in this to win it the best I can. I'm sure it's going to be there the rest of my life. I'm going to have hard times. I'm going to have times that I'm going to have to re-experience, you know, pain or whatever. But at the same time, I'm 100% fighting it, and I can pretty much do anything I want to with my body compared to being bedridden. I mean, I'm 100% with my body right now. Say something bad happens, I start losing some of the things I've learned, then I'll just relearn them because I know then the pain of try to creep back in.
Yeah. No, I think that's the key thing. And the deal is that you have your life back. And I think that's the beautiful thing. And I think that's an important thing to bring up. By the way, I just want to say I unmuted Enjoy, so you can speak now.
Hi.
Hey, Enjoy. Welcome back. But if I can follow up before you jump in, Enjoy, what I wanted to say is I think that's important because, again, of the topic that we're discussing today of the way that TMSers beat themselves up. And I feel like a lot of people, and I've seen it on the forum, they get tense. Their tension, a lot of their unconscious rage, is about how rapidly they are healing and how completely they're healing. So it just is, I think we've done a disservice by highlighting all of the very, very rapid recoveries. And I think that one of the best things that Steve Ozanish did in his book is he talked about how actually it takes a long time for some people, you know, like it can take up to 18 months. I think that was wonderful that he put that down. I think it's wonderful that we emphasize also that not everybody, that you know, relapses are part of the human condition. That's the way the TMS works.
Yeah, it's been going on 2 years for me, you know, and at the same time, I've had to work on it every single day, you know, and I have had relapses. So, I think it's a lifelong thing. I think it took me, you know, 39 years to get all this garbage in my head, and it's going to take you know, quite a bit longer than you know, 16, 17 months, year, whatever, to get it out. It's going to take a lot of work, but at the same time, 90% of the time, let's say that, I'm feeling great. So
that's good to hear. And the key thing is that you're not worried about it. Like, you got your life back. But correct. To ask, before I forget about this, and I'm going to hand it over to Enjoy if she wants to say something, is Tom here? No, okay. All right. He said he was going to call in today, but maybe next time. Enjoy, did you finally want to say something? I kept on putting you off. Are you?
No, not really. No, I'm fine. Yeah, it's just been very interesting, actually. Thank you.
But I really don't have. Okay, so nothing to add on that. I guess to wrap up, we talked about identify. Becca was just letting me know that we have an unknown caller muted, but I will unmute. Oh, maybe he, Tom, can you hear me now? Can you talk now? No. Well, anyway, I just unmuted 1410. That's the way it goes. So if anybody wants to chat or to have me unmute them, remember, it's always, you just go to tmswiki.org/chat. You log in to the chat room, possibly as a guest, and let me know. Thanks to Becca for the amazing job she has been doing passing that information along to me, because, oh my goodness, the level of multitasking that has to go on when you're at the controls and moderating, it's a lot. Shall we? We got a lot out of that, but we never, it is 10:06, and I try to keep us on time, especially since it is pretty darn late for the Eastern time zone. Let's put off identify sources of abuse to the next session so we can do it right. And then maybe we can talk about, let's talk about identify the sources of abuse, and we can talk about standing up to your inner bully. Does that make sense?
That's where Monty's clean room collides with psychoarchaeology, because it seems like Alan is advocating identifying the source of abuse that's leading to these self-destructive behaviors. And that sounds like it involves going back
to
these habits you've learned. So he seems to validate. Well, I just think people can have to do different routes. Some people, to get to Monty's clean room, have to go through the Freudian.
Have to go through what?
Some do not. Some can just say, I'm thinking clean now. But some have to figure it out, work
well
their
said.
Way forward.
Did everyone get that? How if so Monty doesn't talk about psychoarchaeology and digging in the past, trying to gain insights by looking at the past. Some people find going in the past and exploring the past a terrific source of insight. I think in this, Alan explicitly says you don't necessarily have to go deep into the past to explore it, but it does help for some people. A guest in the chat room is mentioning that Monty does advocate journaling, so you know that is one thing. I don't get the sense, and I haven't reread the book recently. He doesn't talk about doing that. He's on the lighter side, I would say, of going in the past. But correct me if I'm wrong, guest. Maybe you can talk a little bit more about that. But that's a very good point, Bruce.
Yeah, well, that leaves us a good point of departure for the beginning of our discussion next week.
Bravo. And Enjoy has to sign off as well. So let's wrap it up. Next week, we will talk about identifying the sources of abuse. And let's also do standing up to the inner bully. Because I think that there are sometimes... Well, do you want to do stand up to the inner bully, or... Yeah, we'll do stand up to the inner bully. Because sometimes when you're standing up to the inner bully, knowing about the past can really help.
Yeah,
well, thank you, everyone. Sorry.
Where did these
sounds
silly
like
dictatorial
nation.
Characters evolve? You know, the ones that you've that beat up on you. Why are they so real? You know, that you can't kick them right out.
That
is
a beautiful
have
thought.
A lot of power associated with them.
Yeah. Where did, and that's what we will explore next week, where did they get the power? Where did the inner bully, the inner terrorist, the inner critic, where did they get their power? That's what we will talk about exploring in the section entitled Identify Sources of Abuse. And then we'll talk about, okay, what approaches can you do to get rid of them? We are jumping around, and I know that Alan put a lot of thought into the order, so there's a little bit of, I have a little slight qualms in this, but I do think that since we're doing two per section, two do go well together. In between, there are the three sections, what I would characterize as the three sections about feeling your feelings. There was also mindfulness, which we've already done. But then there was this thing on address repression, so you can see how you might be repressing sadness and anger. Then you need to identify the source of repression. So just as you identify in the section that we just talked about, you identify the destructive behaviors of self-criticism and pressure and fear, etc. Likewise, you have to identify the sources of your repression. So you identify that repression, and you identify the source of it. And he talks about feeling your feelings, similar to what the somatic experiencing that Herbie was talking about. So there are these three sections, these three parts, which I think of as connected. They're all about getting in touch with your feelings, not repressing, feeling your feelings in your body, figuring out why you repress, etc. So we're going to skip over those. We'll come back to them. We will talk about evoking that rage that I talked about earlier on. We talked about three approaches to deal with these harmful behaviors: mindfulness, affirmations, exploration. And Joy said affirmations and exploration, and then finally anger. Next week, we are going to talk about anger, that's standing up to the inner bully. Any final thoughts before I wrap it up? Well, thanks everyone so much for showing up. It's been wonderful to have the three of you on the camera, in the chat room, have all these different channels going simultaneously. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Herbie. It's been great to have you, and thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Joy.
Good session.
Thank you, Joy.
All right, Stock Trader is going bungee jumping. So we'll see him next week, overcoming his own inner terrorist. Do not catastrophize, my friend. I will see you on the forum. Have a good week.
You too, buddy.